You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
During their occupation of France, the Nazis confiscated more than 100,000 works of art. In the confusion after the war, many people try to find their stolen possessions, and that search is at the center of Sarah Hodling's new novel, Pictures at an Exhibition. It's published by Knopf, and I'm very pleased that it has brought her to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
You've told your story through the eyes of Max Berenson, the son of an art dealer in Paris. Is he based on a real person?
Max himself isn't based on a real person, but his father, Daniel, was inspired by Picasso's main art dealer before the war, a wonderful man named Paul Rosenberg, who lived at 21 Rue de la Boétie, and that's the address that my characters live at as well.
Well, how many of the characters in the book are based on actual people?
Quite a few. The ones that I've changed, you know, if I changed someone's birth date, then I gave them a different last name. That was kind of my my rule for myself. There's a woman named Rose Clément in my novel, based on a woman named Rose Valland, who is the only French curator to stay on in the Jeu de Paume Museum, which was used as the Nazis' central sorting center for all of the looted artwork. And so she's probably the most important real-life character that makes her way into my novel.
At one point, didn't an editor kind of ask you to write this as a work of nonfiction?
Yes, she did.
What decided you to keep it as fiction?
I think that fiction is my métier. Fiction is the lens through which I view things. I'm always reading nonfiction and thinking, how would I turn this into fiction? So there was never really any question for me, but I think it would make a good nonfiction book, too.
Now, the title, of course, immediately brings Mussorgsky to mind. And in the book, Max's mother is a pianist, plays
that's
the
right.
composition for him.
Yes. That's a scene I added in late in the editing process because I realized that I wanted to tell the story of the Mussorgsky piece, which is that Modest Mussorgsky had a friend named Victor Hartmann who died at a young age. And Victor Hartmann was a painter. And so there was an exhibition of Hartmann's paintings, which Mussorgsky attended. So Mussorgsky says that his suite is kind of a soundtrack for Mussorgsky walking. He uses the word physiologically from painting to painting. And all of Hartmann's paintings have disappeared, but Mussorgsky's music remains.
And Victor Hartmann is not one of the artists that the Berenson family collects. Manet, Picasso, Matisse, Degas. At a time when an art dealer could have known all of those great artists.
That's true. And one of the things that's interesting to note today about the artwork that was looted and that's still missing is that it's a lot of these great modern artists, because they were considered degenerate. They were used as bartering pieces by the Nazis, who primarily sought out Old Master and Aryan artwork.
Although there were a fair number, from what I gather, of people who were in the officer corps who really appreciated these artists.
That's true.
And in fact, it protected some of them. But do you have a feeling that after all these years, the 40,000 works of art that still are unaccounted for will ever turn up?
Someone that I spoke to that works in the at the Holocaust Museum in D.C. said to me that the more times that art changes hands, the greater the chances that it will rise to the surface of the legitimate art market, because the further it will be from the person who knows why it should be hidden.
Although, in most cases, the people who would even recognize this work as something of their family owned are no longer with us.
That's true. And I think that's one of the most painful things about this history, is that you recognize that with each looted painting, it represents a family that was deported and killed.
At the start of the novel, there seems to be a conflict. Does Daniel, Max's father, want him to become an art dealer and take over the family business, or doesn't he?
Max misunderstands his father's refusal to let him enter the art business. One of the reasons Max's father gives him is that Max has more the spirit of the collector who wants to hold on to everything rather than the eye of which person can I sell this to that will then burnish the artist's reputation as well as the art dealer's reputation.
Well, Max comes across as incredibly naive. And this is all your invention.
That's right, yeah.
Even before the war starts, Max's father has to contend with forgeries and maintaining good relationships with his artists. Was the art business changing a lot in the years before the war broke out?
I don't know as much about how it was changing. I know that it echoes in some ways what the art market is going through today, which is that art is a surer currency than the national dollar or the franc. I think that before the war, a lot of people were eager to invest in art because it was a sure bet.
Although I'm sure some people already saw the possibility of war as a dangerous thing. I don't know how many Jewish dealers thought that they might wind up in serious trouble. Did the people in France even imagine that there might be a German occupation?
I don't think so. I remember reading somewhere that a French general had expected that were the Germans to set foot on French soil, that the defeat of the Germans would take 8 days.
You went to Paris on a Fulbright, didn't you?
That's right.
Were you doing research that led you to start thinking about this book?
I received the Fulbright once I had already begun writing this book. And one of the things that was wonderful about it was that it gave me kind of the official sanction to contact families who had been naturally made suspicious by the war.
Did you already know about the woman who you've based Rose Clément on?
I did know about Rose Valland. I'd had a hard time obtaining my own copy of her autobiography, which has gone out of print and has never been translated into English. And so the whole time that I was there, I combed the used bookstores. And finally, on a random French website, I was able to order it online for like the equivalent of maybe $6.
You imagine not exactly a love affair between Rose and Max.
I think that it's gone through many different stages. At one point, it was a very passionate love affair. I teach high school, and at some point, one of my high school students said, "I can't wait to read your novel. We're going to read it out loud with my parents." And this was at a point when there was a very lurid love scene, and I thought, oh my, I must change it. but now I think that Rose, that kind of human love or earthly love is not the most important thing to her. She's more preoccupied with the world of art.
Well, you learned a lot about her from her book, but can we trust the book of somebody who has been accused of being a double agent?
I think that we can. I think that that accusation was very short-lived. In some ways, it was dispelled the day that the Americans reoccupied the Jeu de Paume, when she went through the museum with a soldier who had a machine gun aimed at her back. And if they had uncovered German soldiers, she believed that she would have been shot because the Allies would have thought that she was hiding the soldier. But since there were no German soldiers discovered, she was exonerated that day.
What happened to Rose after the war? Was she had she been accused of being a collaborator by anyone?
She worked with the Monuments Men. She was the secretary for the Commission Récupération Artistique, the CRA.
Track down the art that they could recover.
Exactly, across Europe. There were thousands of paintings hidden in salt mines across Germany. Some of the most iconic photographs of Eisenhower and Patton are of these two men looking dazed at these paintings, which are stacked like a deck of cards, kilometers into these mountainsides. And then Rose Valland was kind of pushed out of the French museum establishment. She had 20,000 documents that explained the provenance of many of the paintings that had been recovered but not linked to their owners, and was basically told, it's time to put the war behind us.
My guest is Sarah Hoetteling, Hoetteling. Her novel, Pictures at an Exhibition, is published by Knopf. You have to know a lot about art for this book, and you have there's some fun things. I don't know whether the relationship between Picasso and his dealer at the time when he's going through his divorce is actually based on reality.
Yes, it is.
You also, many artists appear in the book. Why is Edouard Manet the most significant?
That's a wonderful question. There's a particular painting called Almonds that's still missing from the war that's a still life. And I was particularly interested in this genre of still life painting. Manet's earlier canvases are these huge, grand tableau. Mm-hmm. But Almonds is a very small still life. And I was interested in this idea of how someone who was once great would then be forced to just paint a small still life painting, which in some ways mirrors the trajectory of how Max views his father, that his father was once great, but once he's ruined by the wartime lootings, that he becomes sort of distilled into a broken man.
And in the case of Manet, he was a key figure in the transition from the early style into Impressionism, but at a certain point, he's kind of passé.
Oh, I would never say Manet is passé.
No, I don't mean...
I feel so loyal to him.
No, I don't mean that he really is. I mean, he is considered that way as even though he tries to keep up with what's going on, the world just rushes by him.
One part of Manet's history that I'm interested in is that he was very good friends with the painter Bert Morisot, who married Manet's brother. And there's a Morisot painting that also appears in my novel that's still missing from the war.
You also include some illustrations in the book, including a photo of almonds.
Yes.
So this was taken before, obviously, this was taken before the war. Do you imagine that it's in somebody's house, secretly in somebody's house now?
I think that's a fantasy that I have, that by reprinting these images, the more times they're reprinted, the greater chance there is that someone might see this and say, I saw that in a basement in St. Petersburg or something. Many people think that a lot of the looted artwork is in the former Soviet Union, that it was taken there by the trophy brigades.
Didn't your father's family move to Paris after the war?
They did.
Did they tell you stories?
My grandmother, Fiora, is a wonderful storyteller. My grandfather was working for the Marshall Plan /OSS, kind of a precursor to the CIA. So their stories were about Paris in this post-war period where there was lots of rationing. So, for example, my grandmother was recognizable to people on the street as an American because she had shiny hair. She used real shampoo, whereas the average Frenchman in that age used the same soap to wash his floor that he used to wash his clothes, to wash his hair.
Sarah Hodling's book, Pictures at an Exhibition, is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us. And next time, by the way, don't worry about what the kids are going to think.
Thank you so much for inviting me.